The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Please be seated. As Jesus walked along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back, able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it's someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I don't know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that now he sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind. And they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I've told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, "You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?" And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "I came into the world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Blessed be God, the source of all compassion, and blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. There are at least 8 people who receive their sight from Jesus in the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke report 7 of these in a total of 22 verses. That's 12 verses per healing. John reports, and he is the only one who reports, the 8th one. The one we heard today. And John needs 41 verses to report that one. Why? Why does John tell us this story, and why does it take him so long to tell it? Near the conclusion of the gospel, John tells us why. He writes, "Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name." Believing, you may have life in his name. That's what's supposed to happen to all of us today. That's also what's supposed to happen to all of us every time we hear a story from John's Gospel, which this year means every Sunday in Lent. And in fact, it's going to mean most of the Sundays in Easter as well. And if this doesn't happen, if you do not leave here today trusting Jesus, if you do not leave here today having life and living life in Jesus' name, then either I'm not doing my job correctly or the Holy Spirit is on spring break. And since the latter is never true, I'd better get to work on the former. Let's start with the story of Nicodemus, which we heard 2 weeks ago. Nicodemus, a brilliant, well-educated, sophisticated scholar, theologian, and a highly respected leader of the community, comes to Jesus stealthily by night, mostly because he is a well-respected community leader and he's afraid of what people will say about him. And Nicodemus questions Jesus as one who is convinced that his piety, his scholarship, his leadership, his pedigree make him a positive agent of God. Jesus responds that that won't do it. Nicodemus must be born again, quote, of water and the Spirit, in order to get the motivation for his scholarship and leadership right. Nicodemus needs Jesus. Nicodemus needs the Spirit in order to trust God so that he is gifted to do and have life and live life in Jesus' name. Nicodemus needs to be in Christ. John wants us to see ourselves and every other human being in Nicodemus. John wants us all to say, I am Nicodemus, and so are all of you. Last Sunday, we heard John's story of the Samaritan woman who meets Jesus at Jacob's well. John portrays her as the polar opposite of Nicodemus, a despised Samaritan, a shamed woman of all things, a serial monogamist having a very public, illicit affair, which is why she comes to the waters alone, in the heat of the day, when no one else will be around to see her. She comes for water. She wants to be left completely alone to her own devices. Jesus is there. And Jesus' purpose in being there, as well as John's purpose in telling us this story, is that she, whom his readers recognize as a marginalized, shamed, labeled, ignored, forced to be self-sufficient woman, will be able to live life in Jesus' name. For her, life in Jesus' name means life free from guilt and free from shame. Life in, not kept out of, beloved community. John wants us to see ourselves and every other human being in the Samaritan woman. John wants us to say, I am that Samaritan woman. And so are all of you. Next Sunday, we'll hear John's story of Jesus raising dead Lazarus. So be prepared to sit for that one too, because that one's 44 verses long. In that story, John portrays Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha, as Jesus' beloved friends. Jesus is there. And Jesus' purpose in being there, as well as John's purpose in telling his story, is that they might have life in Jesus' name, which means life lived with death and the fear of death and the threat of death behind them. So Jesus releases Lazarus from the bonds of death. John wants us to see ourselves and every other human being in Lazarus. John wants us all to say, I am Lazarus, and so are all of you. All this stuff is about baptism. So there's water, and therefore there's baptism in each of these stories. Explicitly, in Jesus' words to Nicodemus, implicitly at Jacob's well, and in the case of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, in Jesus' tears. Which brings us to today's story at the Pool of Siloam about a person blind from birth and a group of other people, Jesus' disciples, Jesus' opponents, the man's neighbors, the man's parents, who are blind too. As Jesus tells this story, the man blind from birth is also invisible, invisible to everyone else around him. Unclean, unacknowledged, unseen, and deliberately ignored. Once Jesus sees him and gives him sight by combining, you get it, water, that is his spit, and dust. Everyone sees this guy. And the now seeing blind man sees everything and everyone, not only with his eyes, but with the eyes of his heart and his mind and his soul. He sees the truth about his new life in Jesus' name. He sees that with such clarity that he courageously speaks that truth to power, religious and political power. Jesus wants us to, John wants us to see ourselves and every other human being in that newly clear-eyed blind man. John wants us all to say, I am that now seeing blind man, and so are all of you. Born anew of water and the Spirit, restored to life in loving and beloved community, raised from death to life in Jesus' name, seeing the truth and speaking the truth. That's John's purpose for us as he tells these stories. That's what it means to have life in Jesus' name. That's John's and my purpose too. Jesus feeds us, and the Spirit wants us all to say, that's who I am. And that's who all of you are too. Amen.